Our gospel for today, John chapter 14, words from Jesus on Maundy Thursday, verses 1 to 12. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am. You know where I am going, and you know the way. Lord, we don't know where you are going, Thomas replied. So how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you would also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Lord, said Philip, show us the Father, and that is enough for us. Have I been with you so long, Jesus answered, and you still do not know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father? And the Father is in me. The words that I am telling you, I am not speaking on my own, but the Father who remains in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I tell you. The one who believes in me will do the works that I am doing, and he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. The Gospel of our Lord. Dear friends in Christ, it is so good that our Christian church includes so many from so many different walks of life and stations in life and roles of life. So many people from different nations, from different ethnicities, from different places and times in the world. This Jesus is for everyone. There's a most prevalent thought out there that is really quite different than what I just said. That all religions are equally viable and valid. In fact, a recent study in America showed that 60% of Americans believe that very thing, that all religions are equally viable and valid. 60%. This is what you might call religion according to Oprah, who once said, there are many ways to what you call God. And if you tend to disagree or in some way say that Jesus Christ is the one way to God the Father, then you're likely to be accused of bigotry or intolerance or something similar. Because as much as you and I may believe that Jesus Christ is the one way, Jesus Christ is the truth, Jesus Christ is the only God who brings eternal life, that 60% of your colleagues or friends or even family who would disagree with you. In fact, even Thomas and Philip may disagree with you on that Maundy Thursday night when Jesus was speaking encouragement to his disciples. The fact of the matter is they just didn't understand this yet. And I think that's true in our world as well, that there are a lot of people who accept many paths to God, but I don't really believe that those people have truly thought it through or understood what Jesus was really teaching, or what Jesus really stood for, or more than that, what Jesus really did, as he points to his words and to his works in the scripture we just heard in John chapter 14. So if you have a discussion with someone who says, don't all paths lead to God, the idea is not that you bite that person's head off or just say, no, you're wrong, I'm right, and it's right because I believe it. After all, it was probably your mother who said, If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Maybe your mother even said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So instead of those kinds of responses, we look to the words of Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so it's important for us to trust also in Jesus, to believe also in Jesus Christ. It's very important to believe also in Jesus Christ, because if you were to gather up all of the world's religions in your arms and you said, well, wait a minute, I missed Jesus Christ. Let me scoop him into this whole gathering too. What you'd find is that he comes with truth claims that are different than all of these other religions. You have opposing thoughts. And if you want to hold on to Jesus Christ, you'd have to drop all those other ideas. It's just the way it is, the way that he teaches compared with these others. You just simply have to compare what Jesus says with these other truth claims out there in the world. And then you'll find that trusting also in Jesus means that you really trust in the Father if you trust also in Jesus. So Easter, like Lent, is a 40-day-long season. We're still repeating Easter themes. And it's beautiful how in the Christian church, even though we may wring our hands a little bit about how long Lent is, 40 days, we have a season to match it that follows right after. 40 days, the season of Easter. And we've talked about a lot of Eastery things, resurrection appearances. In this latter half of Easter, it stands to reason that we look at what Jesus said before he went to the cross, before he died, and compare it to what really happened in his resurrection and afterwards. And so Jesus sets the table for us today on Maundy Thursday, and we listen to what Jesus has to say, how he predicted things to the disciples before all of it happened. And there they were in the upper room. And Jesus knows their hearts are troubled. And if you read it in context, you read John chapter 13, you see what leads up to this. You see that Jesus has explained that he was going to be betrayed by one of them. In fact, Judas even leaves, even though the others don't really understand why. He's already warned Peter that he's going to betray him, even though Peter says, I'd never do that. Jesus says, before the rooster crows, it's going to happen, and I'm praying for you. So it really makes sense that their hearts are all stirred up. That's what the Greek word troubled means. It means sort of like churned up, like a water full of dirt. If you've ever mixed something that doesn't quite mix and it becomes this cloudy mess, that's what their hearts were like. And Jesus, who searches hearts, knows that because he's not only true man, but also true God. He understood where their hearts were. And so that's why he says, trust in God, trust also in me. Or in our translation, believe in God, believe also in me. They knew he would go away. They knew he would suffer and die. And Jesus had already told them he was going to rise after 3 days, but they were still having difficulties learning this. Yet at the end of the day, Jesus wants them to believe in him, to trust that the path they were following is the way. It is the right path. It is the path to God. And he's not just talking about the cross, you can tell, because he says, where I'm going, you're also going to want to be here too. And in fact, I'm not going to stay there. I'm coming back to bring you to be with me. And Jesus wasn't going to bring his disciples to the cross so that they would be crucified along with him. The whole point of this was a substitutionary atonement, a death on behalf of his apostles. A death on behalf of believers like you and me. No, he was going to take them back to be with him, with the Father, in heaven. That's what we're all waiting for. That's where our hope rests. And that's what these apostles would eventually thoroughly believe. Think about this. Think about getting to God as like climbing a mountain. And many people would say, well, there's more than one path to get to the top of Mount Everest. There's got to be. And therefore, in their minds, that makes all other religions viable and possible and doable. They are other ways to God if you just simply follow the other religion correctly. So why not Buddhism? Why not Hinduism? Why not Judaism? Why not be a part of these other religions like Islam? Why wouldn't these other paths get you to God? Well, there's a big problem on the way up the mountain. That big problem is there's this big old crater or canyon called sin. And all of these religions are trying to circumvent sin or get across it or get around it or get through it somehow. And so they all develop laws and rules and things, rituals, so that they all devise a path to follow all the way up the mountain just to get to God. And so far, all these other religions are really quite similar to Christianity. They could all be compared to one another because there's thou shalt nots and thou shalls. There is regard for human life in general. There's no stealing allowed. There is no adultery allowed. You shouldn't talk badly about your neighbor in all these religions, and you should take God seriously. So we're all kind of in the same boat in that way. And in that way, all religions agree. There's a version of God the Father and a version of law and getting right with God. But you have to get right with God by doing them. In Christianity, God says something else. And he says it already in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 43:11, he says, I, even I, am the Lord. And apart from me, there is no Savior. Only the Lord can bring us to himself. And the way that he does it is in Christ. Only God can accomplish the feat of going across that canyon, because human beings are failures. Over and over again, sin has showed us that we cannot be the way. Instead, God has said, I am the way, because he suspended a bridge across that canyon. And that bridge is Jesus Christ, suspended on the cross. And that cross of suffering and death is there for any sinner who might come to him. It's so important, because if that bridge is the way, if God has solved that breach for humankind, then you have to look at all the religions and see which ones have that bridge. Sadly, Christianity is the one. And that's why God is so strict when he's exclusively saying, I am the way, and no one can come to the Father except through me. You might say, this is a matter of grace and not works. And that's what really sets this religion apart. All other religions try to save us by what we do, but Christianity saves us by what God has done. In some way, shape, or form, all these other ways suggest that you need to follow the law just right, follow regulations just right. But you can't do it. Here's some examples. In Islam, the triune God is denied. In fact, they seem to think in the Quran that Mary, the mother of God, is part of the Trinity, which is really just an error. But then the Quran says that Jesus certainly didn't die on the cross. The Son of God cannot die on a cross. How can you reconcile that with Christianity? One of those truth claims is wrong. Then in Buddhism, I love Buddhism, it says that life is suffering. I really like that. Life is suffering. Buddhism also says the cause of suffering is desire. That's actually a really good thought. We know from the Bible that many have wandered from the faith in greed, searching for money, and pierced themselves with many griefs. Desire is the cause of suffering. But Buddhism doesn't show you the one who suffered on your behalf. Buddhism tells you just don't desire anything. Can you believe that? Can you not desire something? Very difficult. But instead, our Jesus, our Savior, has suffered on our behalf. That's what Christianity has told us. And you'd have to compare these religions and understand and think for yourself which one is right. And then you'll know the power of the Holy Spirit working on your heart if you know the Savior who is the bridge. And Jesus also says, I am the truth. And so we have to ask if he's telling the truth. Because in our world, we're told something may be true for you, but that wouldn't be true for me or someone else. And it may not even be the truth. We're told that your truth is different than my truth, and it's different from his truth or her truth, and that might not even be the truth in our postmodern society based on existentialism, a certain philosophical movement from 100 years ago, and postmodernism, which and deconstructionism, which tries to just shatter all certain thought. Well, that means the only person who's really wrong, according to that kind of thinking, is the person who claims to have the truth. And then someone has come up with the truth that that person is wrong. It's really an old error, and it really just doesn't work. Let me show you how. Suppose we're painting a wall, and we're painting it white. Now, you and I can look at swatches together and decide, okay, this is beige, this is cream, this is really an off-white. We might disagree which ones are beige, cream, or off-white, but they're all really a version of white. And if I came in and told you, no, that's actually a black color, you'd have to say, no, you're definitely wrong about that. Your truth claim is false. And so there is a truth if you acknowledge that black is black and white is white, even if it might be a different version of white. You're agreeing with Jesus and saying, there is truth out there. I'll give you another example. If I took an ice bucket and dumped it on my head, and then I told you, I'm not going to be wet or cold or have any effect at all, you would have to come to a certain conclusion that either I'm about to perform a miracle or that what I'm saying is false and I'm a false teacher. And I would hope that you tell me so. Because that's just not truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. He makes objective claims of the truth constantly, and he says, I tell you the truth. He says it 79 times in the Bible. Here's an example from John chapter 5. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. John 5:24. Did you hear that bridge, by the way, crossed over from death to life? He says, I tell you the truth. There you have it, not only the truth, but life, and that bridge again. You have the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus Christ. When we get into discussions with others, they might say, well, who are you to tell me what's right? You think you're better than me? Do you think you're smarter than me? Do you think you know something because you're so very good? And so it's really important for us to speak the truth in love. It's really important for us to follow what God says and answer with gentleness and with respect. When Jesus spoke the truth, we need to remember that they wanted to put him on the cross. And so a good degree of truth will always be a little dangerous, maybe a lot dangerous. We have our own crosses to bear. We might even face persecutions in the future. But brothers and sisters, we can't let that stop us. Because God, our Savior, wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, according to 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. And it was Jesus who said that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. The goal of this is not to be strict or stringent about what we teach. The goal of this is the salvation of souls. And the salvation of sinners. The world has told us to just believe in something. Believe in something and it will count. That means, you hug something. Really, trust is a nice, tight hug. That's what belief is. But if you were drowning and I said, wait, I'll get help and throw you a rock, you wouldn't want to give that rock a nice, tight hug. You wouldn't want to just trust in something. You'd want me to throw you a life preserver. Something that solves sin and death and the devil and fear and worry and nails all your wrongs, all of your sins to the cross and be the way, the truth, the life. Whether people believe it or not, this thing stands. This fact is real, that Jesus Christ died for sinners, of whom I am the worst. And our brothers and sisters all need to know this in this world. They need to come to an understanding and a knowledge of the truth, a cross to which everyone is invited. Everyone really kind of wants to go shopping for God. If you think of God as like a grocery store, fill your cart with the things that you'd like. Select this, but I don't know if I like how that tastes, so I won't put that in my cart. What a wonderful mother it is who has said, no, we're going to take this and you're going to eat it whether you like it or not. What a wonderful mother who says, this food is healthy for you, so this is going in the shopping cart. And so many people out there want to believe what the first article says, that God is gracious and loving, He's created me, He's preserved me, and He cares for me. Then they get to the second article of the Creed and they think, I'm not so sure about all of this born of the Virgin Mary stuff. I'm not so sure about a Jesus who would suffer and die. That's a little grotesque. I don't want to think about it. Wait, He rose from the dead? That's a little difficult to believe. As far as I know, everyone dies. But that's what's so wonderful about this bridge. What's so glorious about this cross is that He gives us things that are difficult and challenging and dangerous. And then He creates the faith in our hearts to believe it. That's what He did for the disciples. And that's what He does for each one of you. The payoff is so great of this one bridge, this one truth, this one life. Only in Christianity does God hold unearned love for sinners. Only in Christianity does Jesus Christ solve sin and guilt. Only the Son has breached the path between us and God the Father. And only He removes all doubt of our status with God. Believe in this way, this truth, this life. It's so wonderful to put our trust in Him. After all, He took your place on the cross. He is the way and the truth and the life. Amen.